It's nice to have an acolyte in your own home. Well, it's a pleasure being here with you in this pulpit that I was with this church for 25 years. And it's always a joy to be back here and to say a few words of thanksgiving and praises to God. Today's message has to do with grace. Now, pastors, when they decide to do a sermon, there are a lot of different ways of going about it and figuring out what to do, what to say, who the congregation is, what the needs of the time are, what the needs of the congregation are. So I'll check and did some research on some of these things. And the first thing that I found is that today we celebrate, and this is a suggestion to ministers, that we preach with thanksgiving and asking God to bless and help those young men and women who are going to college in the fall. So how many of you are here so I can preach to you? Okay, that didn't work out too well. The second suggestion that I found somewhere was that this year we celebrate the Indigenous Year of the Lord. So now we're supposed to preach to the indigenous people. That means natives. That means people that live in the jungle. That means, you know, that kind of. So how many of you are here? Not too many indigenous. So I can't preach to you. Another suggestion is that, and this is serious, that today, 1945, August 6th, Hiroshima was bombed. The first atomic bomb fell on Hiroshima today. 3 years, 3 days later, Nagasaki got the big boy, the fat boy, who was called. And that was atomic bomb. So this is celebrated today, or maybe not celebrated, but with honor, remember that this was bringing the war, to Second World War, to an end. And it is something to be thankful for, even though there's so much tragedy and so much hurt. But that's the way the world works. But God blesses us, and through all the problems that come to us and that we actually make or help make, God's grace is sufficient to bring us back up again and do what is right and what is good and what is the thing that God would want us to do. So today we talk about grace. It is a wonderful topic because without grace, we're done, we're finished, there's nothing there. You know, we can say we love people, we can say we love God, but that doesn't go very far unless the grace of God is there. It is He who places that love in our hearts. It is He who forgives us our sins. It is He who helps us to and motivate us to move and do the acts that we're supposed to do, acts of love, mercy, and grace. And so grace is amazing to all of us, and it's there, and we might not understand it. As a matter of fact, grace is what buys us a little bit of time when things come to us as a problem or we need to resolve a situation. It's nice to have a moment of peace. And sometimes people say, you know, sleep over it, or pray over it, meditate over it, or just be quiet and at peace. And somehow the answer will come eventually. And of course, to Christians, to you and to me, we believe that the grace of God touches us at the very moments when we have the worst times in our lives. We're pressured and we feel that nothing else is there to help us out, and God is there and He touches us, and then sooner or later, we say, thank you, God, you were there when I most needed you, and you touched me. There are some areas of grace that we can bring before you this morning, and in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. Let's touch the Old Testament first. Way back in the times when Moses was bringing the people of Israel from Egypt to Israel, to the Holy Land, to the Promised Land. And of course, the people weren't very nice to Moses. We know that. There are all kinds of stories there. And probably they weren't nice because times weren't nice. I mean, who would be nice in the middle of the desert for 40 years or whatever? And so they rebelled against Moses, God, and they did all kinds of crazy things. But God said to Moses, among many things, he says, why don't you take a big old stick and make a bronze snake, a serpent, put it on top of the stick and bring it up. And when people look at it, they will be forgiven for their sins, for their bad behavior. And that's grace. God knew that the people were going to do crazy things, but he also knew that he had the power and the joy to bring them back to where they should be by loving them and giving them the peace that they needed. And he provided all kinds of different ways to do it. Another story is Jonah. It's an amazing story. You know the story in the Bible, Jonah and the whale, or the big fish. God said to Jonah, Jonah, there is that city, Nineveh, that is totally going, falling apart in sin. They're doing the wrong things. Their crime is horrible, probably drugs, probably all kinds of crazy things were happening. He says, I'm going to have to destroy that Nineveh. And Jonah thought, well, okay, they deserve it. Probably that's what he said. Maybe you and I would say the same thing. But God said, no, I want to forgive them, but they need to ask for forgiveness. And they're not going to do it unless I send a messenger to them, my messenger, God's messenger, so that they can listen to that messenger and repent of their sin. And I will forgive them. And, well, our man said, that's not this man. I'm not going to do that. Well, God said, Jonah, I've chosen you. You know, when God chooses you to do something, whether you like it or not, you better do it. Because it's within God's grace, and he gives you the potential, the ability, and the know-how to deal with the situation. Even if you don't have it up here, God works with the heart first, and things move along according to his will. Well, we know that this prophet was totally, he just did not want to do it. Well, he finally, according to the story, he got on the boat, they went the wrong way because he wanted to go somewhere else. A whale or a fish swallowed him, spit him out on the beach out there somewhere near Nineveh, and he found himself among the sinners, the bad people that God was going to destroy. And he said, you know, if I preach to them, I know God will forgive them. I don't want to do that. They don't deserve grace. They don't deserve to be forgiven. They don't deserve peace. They're too bad. They're bad. They deserve the worst. You know, sometimes we feel that way, too, about other people. Not me, but them, you know. But God says, I want you to go, regardless of your temperament, regardless of your feelings, regardless of where you're coming from in terms of your mind, I want you to go. You're the chosen one. Isn't that amazing how God chooses you and me? Sometimes we say, well, you know, I'm not good enough. I can't do that. Or how is God going to choose me to do anything out there in his grace and everything, and he can help me? But God's not going to choose me. I'm not good enough. I don't know enough. My Bible is not you know, I don't know my Bible enough, good enough. I don't go to church that much, or whatever. We have excuses. If God chooses you, that's it. And we say, thank you, God, and we do whatever needs to be done. Well, this man, prophet of God, went over, preached to them, and guess what they did? You know the story. They repented of their sin. And, well, Jonah thought, I knew it. I knew they'd do that. It was worthless for me to come. They should have been destroyed. That's what they deserve. And God said, no. Well, that's the story there. God forgave them. You know, it's this way with us too. God forgives us our sins no matter what we have done or think of doing or which way we're going direction-wise. God is ready to forgive us because His grace is sufficient for us. And then He continues to give us the grace that He gave Paul. Remember, Paul was a wonderful man, man of God. He followed the law, the Torah. The people of Israel enjoy his leadership because he was right there with the law. But it was all the law that has been placed in his mind, not his heart. And that was the problem Jesus had with the rest of the people, the people there in Israel. The doctors of the law, the religious people of all people, because they felt they really knew things the way they should be, and Jesus had a hard time with them. But Paul did the same thing, and he went out persecuting the Christians until one day he was out, and the story tells that he was in his horse going somewhere, he fell off, and a light came and spoke to him and said, Paul, why do you persecute me? And of course, he didn't understand what was going on. Who are you? I am the one you persecuted, Jesus Christ. And this man changed then. You see, the grace of God comes, not only gives us peace, but it changes us, motivate us to move in the direction that God wants us to go, not the direction we want to go or we feel we're being educated on and we feel this is the right way, but it is God's way, and somehow God knows better. And if we don't follow His way because we're trying to figure it out, and you know, you and I, we do it that way. We got to have an objective. We got to follow the rules. We got to make sure that we do the right thing, whatever that is. And we've been educated that way, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, if it's all in the mind, then we have to move that into the heart. And when God came to Paul, He motivated the heart to now move into a direction that Jesus wanted him to go. In what Jesus has done for us, Jesus came, Jesus who knew no sin, the Bible says in Corinthians, and He became sin for us. Now, He was not a sinner, but He became sin. What does that mean? And I have never really understood that, but that's what the Bible says, that all the sins of the world were placed on Jesus, so that even when He was being crucified, it wasn't the hurt of the nails and dying on the cross that really killed Jesus. What killed Jesus was your sins and my sins, where He needed to say, Lord, why are you doing this? I don't understand it. And then eventually He delivered His soul unto God. But it was the sin of the world brought Him to death. Not the nails, of course, that killed him too, but it was the main thing that you and I put in our minds and in our hearts is that Jesus died for me. That without the grace that God placed in that on that cross, you and I would not be saved. You and I would never see the eternal kingdom of God. But it was because he was willing to give everything, even his soul. Then God said, then I'll forgive all of you, all of us. And folks, this is what we're doing today, that as we participate in the Lord's Supper, we take of the bread, we take of the wine, and this represents the body of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And as we do this, what we're going to be doing today is I'll serve the elders, and we'll all wait till we're all served, and we'll take together the elements, and I'll remind everyone what it is that we're doing. But anyway, this is what we're going to do now is bring before the Lord our hearts and our minds and allow him to take over. So let us unite in a prayer as we have it in the bulletin. Let us pray. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord for our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
Let us pray in unison. Holy, holy, holy Lord God, power and might. Heaven and earth is filled with his glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. According to the holy institution of the Lord Jesus Christ, and in remembrance of him, we do this, that in the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat, and do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup. And as he had given thanks, he says, "This is my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Drink of it until I come again." Let us pray. Almighty God, the elements are being served there on this table that belongs to you, the bread and the wine given to us to represent the body of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And, oh Lord, we bring before you our meditations and our sins, our problems, our pressures, our stresses, and we ask you to touch us individually and as a congregation and as a people. Touch us, forgive us. We do this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.